Whatever looks like a case that the enemy has been using against you, that case is sorted now. Before this day is over, it is evident that your captivity is torn.
God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet.
Thank you, Jesus. If that clap is for Jesus, make it louder, make it bigger. It's worthy of our prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Will you please join me, lift up your hands before the Lord this morning. Let's thank Him for the privilege of coming to His presence again. Let's thank Him for the joy of meeting with God for an encounter at Shiloh 2018. Let's thank Him. He brought us so He can bless us. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Thank Him for the opening night. Thank Him for the Shiloh prayer hour. And thank Him right now for the hour of visitation. He is visiting you. He is visiting me. He is visiting all of us this morning. Thank Him and thank Him. Thank Him and thank Him. Everything that begins with thanks always end well. Father, thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Amen. Holy Spirit of God, visit us this morning. Amen. Teach us this morning. Amen. Touch us this morning. Transform us this morning. Amen. Translate us this morning. Amen. Thank you for doing it. And all the saints of God in the house, say thank you, Jesus. Please get seated. Shiloh 2018. And I take dominion. As you have said it and is here, so He will do it for you. I count it again a great privilege this morning, given by God's servant, my spiritual father, my mentor, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo. About 39 years ago, I was privileged to be registered in the school of the prophet under him. With him, as God's ordained principal in that school, and myself being a student, and 39 years after, I remain a student in that school of the prophet. And this morning, I'm given the privilege to do another teaching practice. Amen. So pray for me this morning that the teaching practice will be impactful. And everyone under the sound of my voice shall be blessed. I can't stop appreciating you, sir, again this morning. Thank you very much, sir. Amen. At Shiloh 2018, the rod of dominion shall be delivered to all of us. That is one of the prophecies that came to us last night. And I believe that it is so for all of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be reminded this morning as we go on with this teaching that we as children of God have heritage of dominion, first of all by creation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have. Let them have. You don't negotiate for dominion, you have dominion. And God did as he said in verse 28. We also have our heritage of dominion by prophecy. Psalm 110 verses 1 and 2, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand and watch it, I will make your enemies thy footstool. And that will happen because I will send forth the rod of my strength out of Zion, which shall enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies. That will become somebody's story from now. And of course, by redemption, we have our heritage of dominion. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, and you and I that he raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This morning, I have the privilege to teach on unveiling the dominion power of servanthood. And the focus of this teaching is to make us see how that through servanthood you can gain dominion. In this wise, if I may humbly add to the definition of dominion, to be, to mean, to have influence. Dominion means to have influence. You don't purchase influence. You have influence by service. The people you serve today will submit to your authority tomorrow. Stewardship or servanthood is platform for rulership. This is why you don't wish dominion, you don't wish rulership, you think stewardship, you plan, you practice servanthood so you can end in rulership. In the light of this teaching this morning, please understand that dominion is not a state. Dominion is a process that you grow into by the day. Only those who stoop to serve will rise to lead. Servanthood practically prepares us for rulership. Let's take from the wisdom of Jesus from scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. But Jesus called them unto him, just as he has called us this morning, and said, you know that in the system of the world, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion. That's the way it works in this world. In this world, you want to impose yourself on people. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so in this kingdom. But whosoever want to be great among you, let him be your servant.
So greatness is rooted in servanthood. And whosoever will be chief among you. And you know we have plenty of chiefs around Africa here. Local chief, high chief, super high chief. Everywhere. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So, dominion can be mean chiefdom. So if you want to become a chief and have a chiefdom, you have to begin with service. If rulership is your desire, then servanthood is the demand. And Jesus concluded in that passage that look at me as an example. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to. That is, don't look for who will minister to you. But to minister to a point that he gave his life a ransom. He gave his life. Something must go from you for authority to come to you. We're in the world of give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And there are very few who say, take from me, take from me, take from me. Because it takes pain for people to take from you. It is the pain of taking from you that brings you the gain of rulership. The seed of dominion is nurtured in the soil of servanthood. The archery of dominion is there in the incubator. Stewardship is launching pad for leadership. The deeper you are in servanthood, the higher you climb in leadership. The deeper you are in servanthood, the higher you climb in leadership. There is no end to your leadership if you don't create an end for your servanthood. The more you serve, the greater you become. Jesus served till death. And now Jesus rules forever. Stewardship or servanthood is the established procedure for rulership. Established procedure. Please note that that is God's pattern for making us becoming great leaders. Great influence, people of dominion. In this light, what is servanthood? Servanthood is a platform for adding value to others. Value addition is servanthood. If you are not adding value, you are not a servant. The mission of servants is to add value anywhere they find themselves, beginning from their homes. Value to your spouse. Value to your children. Value to your parents. Value in the neighborhood. Value in the church. If you are not adding value, you are not needed. If you are not adding to life, you don't fit to live. You are not fit to live. What is servanthood? Servanthood is making contributions anywhere you are, including your workplace. Why are you employed in a place? You are not employed primarily to be paid. You are employed to make contributions. Why am I employed under God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo? to make contributions. To make contributions. Why are you a civil servant? To make contributions to your nation, to the system where you are working. All who wait to be paid will soon be paid off. And that's what happened to many people. They work in systems and all they are there for is a pay. And so they end up being paid and nothing has happened to them. You will never see somebody who added value to a place and is ever forgotten. What is servanthood? It is helping others to rise. Helping others to rise. You are up there. Like Jesus said, you are to bow to people, wash their feet, raise them up. If you don't raise people, you will soon be erased. Hear these employers, people in high places, all you do is to use people, pay them peanut when it's in your power to pay them well. Christmas is coming. Whereas they don't have to believe God for their pay, they are praying that God will touch your heart to pay them. You say there is no money, they see you celebrating your wife's birthday. Buy a new car for her. Not raising others. Your rising is secured in raising others. What is servanthood? I'm trying to go down to the grassroots so we can see how it applies to all of us. Servanthood means caring for others. Your fellow brethren in the church. Somebody is seated next to you and you can see all over him that he's not doing well and all you did is to shake his hand and say, God bless you. Dominion. Amen. Caring for others. Being sensitive to the needs of people around you. What is servanthood? Accepting responsibility for the well-being of others. What is servanthood? Servanthood means rendering services without seeking gain. Rendering services without seeking gain. Unfortunately, most people put gain ahead of them. That's why they suffer pain. Gain mentality is slavery mentality. Business people, this is how to sustain your business. Don't put gain first. Put services first. Pastors, you want to see a growing church, an unending growing church. Seek to render service to the members, not what to gain from the members. If the only time the anointing moves on you is when they bring prophet offering to you, get ready, the church will soon shut down. At the onset of this church, God's servant with his Volkswagen Beetle, either by himself or he sends one or two of us to drop people at the junction after the close of the service. So the car was both private and official use and membership use. All round use. Now it has gone from Beetle, it grew from Beetle to Peugeot, and grew to another thing, Peugeot 406, then from there to Peugeot 505, and grew and grew, and many of us know where it has grown to now. Rendering services without seeking gain. Gain mentality is slavery mentality. Service mentality is dominion mentality. I'm emphasizing this because our systems, especially in Africa, has been destroyed. Gain consciousness. Some people say, I want to work in the government because I have opportunity to money, to access money. And that's why you see many people in the system today, all they are there for is what they will take, what they will steal. And sometimes they call it national cake. Today, people are looking for a job, and the first thing he wants to know is how much they will pay me. How much will they pay me? Not what value am I bringing into the system. Not what services am I rendering. Now, all of our covenant fathers made the difference because they were out there not seeking gain. Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. All he was there to was to add value to Potiphar's life until Potiphar got to a point where he handed over everything to him. That's dominion. You serve your way to a point where everything is handed over to you. Abraham was not seeking for gain. In Genesis chapter 14, a time came when the king of the land needed help because enemies came and routed the entire city, took everything that they had, and Abraham harmed his trained men and went to war. And what was the outcome? He recovered all. And in verse 21, hear what the king said. And the king of Sodom said to the brother, give me the person and take, and take, and take. And take. And Abraham said, no, I will not take. I will not take anything from you. I didn't do this to be paid. I did this to serve. Come to Jacob. For a long time, Jacob was in slavery for 20 years. For as long as he kept negotiating for pay, he was in slavery. Until that day, he told Laban, I will not take anything from you. And immediately, God opened the door for him. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 41, to begin with, thus have I been 20 years in your house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for your cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. You've changed my wages. Because I was busy negotiating. But look at what happened in chapter 30, verses 31 and 32. Jacob came to a point and said, when Laban asked, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou would do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. I will serve again. The God of reward is on the way coming. And in verse 33, he said, I know. My righteousness, the service I render, shall answer for me in time to come. You cannot keep down or destroy a servant. And we know the end of the story. At the end of the day, everything was taken from Laban and converted unto Jacob. Servants may look like losers at the onset, but in the end, they become masters. They gain everything. Look at Daniel. Or Joseph. In chapter 41 verse 33. After Joseph interpreted the dream. Hear what he said. He took himself out of the way. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out for a man. Don't worry about me. That is discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh answered the following verse. He said, who else are we to look for? For as much as God has shown you this thing, you are the one that will get the job done. See, servants don't struggle to be known. They don't struggle to be called. They don't struggle to be assigned. They stay in their corner doing what they should do. If you're a messenger in your office, do the messenger work well. When you are found worthy, they will raise you up. If you are an officer, do your officer's work well. Don't seek to pull down somebody with petitions in order to have his place, because his place cannot fit you. God has prepared a bigger place for you. Our covenant fathers were not looking for gain, yet they didn't miss the gains. Look for a man to do this job. And Pharaoh said, no, we have found a man in you. Servants are always found. I have found David, my servant. Look at Daniel, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Very raw people. Slaves. Non-entities, so to say. For I have heard of thee. The king began to say to Daniel, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubt. Now if thou can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have chain of gold about your neck, and thou shalt be third ruler in the kingdom. See Daniel's response. Then Daniel answered and said to the king, let your gifts be to yourself. I'm bigger than that. The best negotiation you can make is negotiation to serve. Look at that passage again. Keep your gift to yourself, yet I will read the writing unto you and make known unto you the interpretation. I'm here to help you. That's the mentality of servants. Am I saying that if you get a job, you should not negotiate for what you'll be paid? No. That's not what I'm saying. If you have opportunity to negotiate, negotiate. But beyond that, tell wherever you have been employed that they should give you time to see your worth and your value. Because what you may be negotiating for is far lower than your value. The truth is, you cannot pay a true servant. You cannot pay a genuine servant. You can't pay him. You can't pay him. And that's what happened to Daniel. If you read the story down the line, the king gave him far beyond what he was negotiating with him. Why? He was there to help. Today, if you are called to stand before president or prime minister of your nation, think about this place. What occurs in the minds of many people, if they have notice, they will make a long list of what they want to ask for. That's the nature of man. But for all these, our covenant fathers, they were not there to take anything. They were there to help. To help. That is what servanthood stand for. To help. To help. If you are a house help, help. If you are a kitchen official, help your employer. Whatever you are doing, see yourself as an helper to the destiny of others. Stop looking for who to help you. Start looking for who to help. Many people pray today, Lord, send to me destiny helper. Why don't you pray, Lord, send me to be a destiny helper to somebody today? Because what you give will come back to you. Help somebody, others will help you. Raise somebody, others will raise you up. Give to somebody, others will give to you. That's servanthood. I've seen this work many times through God's servant. Some people will say, do you wonder how Bishop Oyedepo get so wealthy? You had him yesterday, I'm very wealthy. Oh, you don't know how many people visit him. Some of those big men that come to see him, do you know what they do for him? But the question you should ask is, do you know what he does for them? I have seen him. This is not exaggeration. I've seen him literally help people whose businesses are down in tombs of millions. I have seen people who have medical issues being helped in thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Sometimes, everything he had in his account. Rendering services to people. If you are taking and taking and taking from people, a time comes when there will be nothing to take from them again. That is, if they don't run away from you. You know why many people are comfortable in this church? Nobody put pressure on anybody. Nobody pressure on any pastor here in this church. Any pastor that talks about offering more than 2 minutes is out of his job. Because people are not called for what to collect from them. No. But life to give to them. Blessing to transmit to them. Many years back, as a church official in the high place in the government, had some issues. And we went with him to sort out the issues. And I called him to a corner. I said, in case the money with you finish, there's some money here. We are here to help you. Not that we are looking for what to take from you. Paul said, we are helpers of your destiny. From this Shiloh, God will make you helper of other people's destiny. Take yourself out of the way if you want to have your way. Take yourself out of the way if you want to have your way. Your relevance is in your value addition. Stop saying, who will bring for me? Start thinking, who will take from me? Servanthood decentralizes you. It takes you away from yourself. Now, quickly, more examples of men who commanded dominion through stewardship. Number one, of course, Abraham, our father. Genesis 26:24, Abraham was referred to as servant of God. Servant of God. Psalm 105, verses 6 and 42, Abraham, the servant of God. He served Lot to raise him up. When he was leaving the place where God asked him to leave, he took Lot, and Abraham took Lot. Chapter 12, verse 5. Is there anybody you are taking along to help in your life? Has anybody ever woken up in your house that, look, I slept in this person's house last night. Your doors are permanently shut with padlock. Has anybody ever taken a dress from you? Except for the ones that you covet from others. Brother, I like this, your shirt. It's so nice. All you are saying is, brother, give me this, your shirt. By the time you say two or three times, he knows where you are going to. He removes it and gives it to you so he can rest. He took Lot. God's servant Bishop Wade, who has taken many of us, took us, and they still taking more people. Taking them up with great joy. Many sons in ministry, many daughters in ministry, rising to his level without any concern. He prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah to be rescued. Abraham was a core servant. Today, Abraham's name is everywhere, generational name. Think of Moses. Moses, the servant of God. Numbers 12, verses 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, the servant of God, is dead. He served God's people at the risk of his life. A time came the people misbehaved and God said, I will destroy them. Moses said, no, if you will destroy them, you will take my name out. What a strange leader. Yet now, if you will not forgive their sin, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Blot my name off. That's what I'm living for. You destroyed 3 million people under my leadership? No, take my name off. How many of you have had God's servant pray, Father, if you will not bless them, stop blessing me? That's servanthood. If you will not bless them, don't bless me again. And as a result, God is blessing you and I am blessing him as well. What a way of getting blessed. When you pray for yourself, you pray, you become less. Focus on self reduces you to less. Focus on others enlarges your destiny. Moses ended as a man of dominion and influence in Israel. I mean Egypt. Exodus 11:3. Another example was Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, he was a servant. Numbers 11:28, Joshua was a servant. He ended as a ruler, even over the 70 elders. Numbers chapter 27 verses 15 to 20. Think about Job. Job served the people who could never have been able to pay him back. Job, my servant, God called him. To me, the greatest reference God can make to anyone is to call him a servant. All great people in the scriptures were addressed as servant by God. Job 29, verses 12 to 17. I was eye to the blind. I delivered the poor, the fatherless. I helped them who are helpless. He served those who could not have had opportunity to give back to him. Unfortunately today, we give only to people that can give back to us. That's what we're doing in the system. Paying bribe to people. Because we are expecting something back from them. That's why somebody is in power today. Everybody is bringing money to him while he's wide. When he's no longer in power, nobody knocks the door again. But Job did for people who couldn't pay him back. Serve people who can pay you back. What was the end of Job? He ended as the greatest in the land. Job chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. Think about David. Psalm 89 verse 20 to 24. I found David my servant. My oil is upon him. David risked his life to go and face Goliath as a servant. He was a servant to the core. Heart of service is what attracts anointing to perform. Heart of service is what attracts anointing to perform. I don't pray for anointing in a special way, as it were. I discover the more I serve, the more I'm anointed. David served, and at every point he was anointed, until the people beckoned to him. It was people who begged David to come and rule over them. He didn't apply to rule. Stop applying to rule. Stop addressing yourself as a ruler. Stop going about places and telling people, don't you know me? Giving them all your titles. Look at that passage, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2. Read that with me very quickly. And also in time past, when Saul was king over us. Saul was king. He was your gakpatapata. But you were the one that led us out and brought us out of the chain of Goliath. Saul was king. You went to the field while he was in the palace. He was holding tight the stool. Nobody will take me from here. David said, let my life be taken for the sake of these people. Let my life be taken. You are the one that led us. That's what they said. And God has said you'll be the one to feed the people and all of that. And in verse 4, look at what happened. They came. Verse 3. All the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron, and the king David made a league with them at Hebron, and they anointed David as king over Israel. Now, there's a difference between being appointed and being accepted. There are many who are appointed today as rulers, but they are not accepted by the people. Saul was appointed. David was accepted. The difference, servanthood. Several other examples. You have this story of Elisha, who first took the mantle of service before he took the anointing for power. First Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. And in the New Testament, you have Paul the Apostle. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, the servant of God. May I close this way. The true trait of servants is one, selflessness. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Philippians chapter 5 verses 5, Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 8. Selflessness. Selflessness. He made himself of zero reputation. Number two, obedience. True servants are always obedient. Number three, humility. Jesus was humble. Humble, took himself low. And number four is love. 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 Passion for God. Compassion for people. Please note that servanthood is a choice that each person has to make. Joshua 24:15. Philippians again 2:5-9. Jesus made the choice. He made himself low. And it takes the Holy Spirit to power this choice that you make. All of that you can study more in Isaiah chapter 42 verses 1-4. Now, I stand in the shoes of my Father here. If you can, please stretch your hands here. I release upon you now the spirit of servanthood. I release upon you this morning largeness of heart to serve. That grace is on this altar. That grace has guided this commission. That grace has brought expansion to this commission. Now, the same grace is released upon you right now. The same grace is released upon you right now. If you can, rise to your feet, give glory to God. If you have been blessed this morning, give him the glory. Raise your hand, raise your voice, celebrate him, give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks. In Jesus' name.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Call 774-7546, 774-7547, 774-7548. And best of all, come, hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Canaan Land, Kilometer 10 Idiroko Road, Ota.